better is if they had me singing with them. What are you laughing at, you know? Boy, I tell you. Take the word of God, please. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. Proverbs chapter number 16. Taking a break from our study through the book of Nehemiah. I'm going to give you a topical message. I do not preach a lot of topical messages. It used to be all I preach. I don't preach very many of them now, but I'm not going to run away from them either. So Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 18. By the way, when you hear the title of the message and you think you don't need it, you've just proved that you need it. No doubt about it. Proverbs 16, 18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Again, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I want to preach to you today on this topic, the poison of pride. The poison of pride. Let's pray together. We'll share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you today, and we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for who you are, for the promises that's found in your word. Thank you that you've defeated death, hell, and the grave. You're alive and well and coming back someday. Help us to be ready for that. And I pray as we preach this message, God, would you speak to all of our hearts, speak to me. Help us not to ever think that we have conquered pride in our heart. Help us to understand what a danger it is. And use us, I pray, speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Mrs. Mae Edwards died suddenly, and her daughter, Bobby Denson of Chicago, cleaned out her apartment and inadvertently passed along to her neighbors the apparent cause of her mother's death. There was a salt shaker that was full of poison in that apartment. Not knowing what the cause for death was, she passed it on to the neighbors, and on March the 2nd, Mrs. Hoy prepared chicken and potatoes for herself and used the salt shaker. She died a short time later, and on March the 10th, three elderly men suffered from symptoms of sodium nitrate poisoning after eating oatmeal. One of them died before reaching the hospital, and the other two were placed under intensive care. They too had all used the salt shaker. People were dying because a salt shaker had a little poison in it. You know, poison is a substance causing illness or death when it's eaten, drunk, or absorbed even in a relatively small quantity. It's anything that's harmful or destructive to happiness or welfare. And may I say to you this morning that pride is poison. It doesn't take much to wreck and ruin your life and testimony. For instance, a minimum of lethal dose of botulinum bacillus is 0.00003 micrograms per kilogram of body weight. That's almost the equivalent of a flea derailing a 100-mile freight train. It doesn't take much to derail you. Let me share with you this morning some reasons why pride is poisonous. And we're going to look at the Word of God together here, and I'm going to give you several reasons why pride is poisonous. By the way, we all deal with it. If you don't think you deal with it, you just prove my point. You're as proud can be. I'm saying everybody deals with pride. Now, when you think about it, pride is one of the most ridiculous sins that a human being can be guilty of. Because without God, we can do literally nothing. And yet pride thinks we can do all things. Now, I'm going to give you some reasons today why pride is poisonous. Let's dig right in. Number one, it's poisonous because it declares. You say, what does that mean? Well, pride is an inordinate self-esteem, an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often in contempt of others. A person who has pride, in reality, here it is declaring that he is self-sufficient. In other words, he's all that's needed, he's enough, he's adequate. He needs nothing or no one. He is fine on his own. I want you to hold your place here. Matter of fact, you don't need to turn to this one because I'm going to have you turn to several portions of Scripture. But in Isaiah chapter 10, verse number 15, the Word of God says, shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? As if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood. In other words, there's no power in the axe by itself. There's no power in the saw by itself. There's no rod, power in the rod by itself. There's no power in the staff by itself. And it's saying, should the thing that has no power in itself boast for what it can do when it's in somebody else's hands? I'm saying to you this morning that you've heard the old saying that the middle letter of pride is what pride is all about, and that is I. Many people live this way. You know, a prideful person is declaring to God and to the world, I can make it on my own just fine. His name was George Gordon Liddy, Watergate conspirator. This was several years ago, obviously, and he made this statement, I quote, I have found within myself all I need and all I ever shall need. I'm a man of great faith, and my faith is in George Gordon Liddy. I have never failed me. You say, wait, I've never made that statement. Maybe you've never said it with your mouth, but have you ever said it with your actions? You ever gone a day without reading the Bible? Wait a minute. You go a day without reading the Bible, what are you telling God? I don't need your word today, God. I don't need what you have for me today, God. You ever gone a day without prayer? What am I saying? I'm saying pride is simply saying I can take it on my own. I am self-sufficient. There's a story here. It cannot be validated, but I'm going to tell it here because whether it's true or not, this story kind of emphasizes what I'm trying to say here about declaring. It's a story about Muhammad Ali. The story is told that he was in one of his engagements. He was flying somewhere, and all of a sudden the pilot came over and quoted that they were having moderate turbulence. With this, they were asking people to buckle up. But this stewardess noticed that Muhammad Ali wouldn't buckle up. And she went to him and said, what are you doing? He said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she replied by saying, Superman didn't need an airplane either. Kind of put him in his place, right? Was that a true story? Don't know. It was a pretty good one anyway, wasn't it? John chapter 15, verse 5 says, for with that Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. My first point here that proves that pride is poisonous is that pride declares just the opposite of that verse. Pride declares that you don't need God or anybody else for that matter. Pride is poisonous because it declares. Number two, pride is poisonous because it deceives. Anyone who's filled with pride doesn't understand who they really are. And I'm speaking to myself here too. Pride deceives a person into thinking that he's really something when he's only dust. Now say it the way it is. A rich man once invited many honored guests for a feast. His own chair, richly decorated, was placed at one end of the long table. And while he was away, each guest seated himself according to his own esteem of his position in sight of the master. In other words, the master had his seat decorated and had it at this end of the table. And then the people, as they came in, they were just to seat themselves where they thought they were most important. So those who thought they were the most important sat as close as they could to the master's chair. The other ones sat way down here on this end. But when the master came in, he did something strange. He took his chair and moved it to the other end of the table. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't miss the point. When you think too highly of yourself, that's the way the master's going to treat you. When you think you're something, when I think I'm something, God's not pleased with that. God's in the habit, folks, listen to me, of associating himself with the humble. Because the humble lifts him up. When you're truly humble before God, you're saying with a humble spirit, I need you, God. And I'm going to tell you something, God will respond to an attitude like that. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Proverbs 25:14, whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Powerful verse. Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. There was a young man who had just received his college degree. He rushed out and said, here I am, world, I have my B.A. And the world replied, sit down, son, and I'll teach you the rest of the alphabet now. Jeremiah 49:16 says, thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. Obadiah 1:3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Pride deceives a person into thinking he's really something else. By the way, there's nothing that's more, I mean, just sickening than a proudful person. Now, think with me just a moment. Whenever you turn the TV on and you watch these folks, and the quarterback drops back and all this, and he throws it and hits the guy right in the chest, and he catches it, and then the guy acts like he's just, oh, look at me, man. Look at me, man. First of all, he had to have a quarterback to throw it to him. You see what I'm saying? And all I'm saying to you is this. If it makes us sick to look at people like that, what must it do to God? I'm not talking about sports in a negative way. Don't get me wrong, because I'm a sports fanatic. And I've been guilty of probably some of those things, which I'm ashamed of. Maybe not many of them, because I didn't score many touchdowns, you understand? I threw some, didn't, and so on. But the fact of the matter is this. I'm simply trying to say to you that pride is poisonous because it deceives. It makes somebody think too highly of themselves. There was a man that once said, pride is so subtle that if we aren't careful, we'll be proud of our humility. When this happens, our goodness becomes badness, our virtues become vices. And we can easily become like the Sunday school teacher who, having told the story of the Pharisee and the publican, said, children, let us bow our heads and thank God we're not like the Pharisee. I'm saying to you that pride can sneak up on you. And when you think about it, now think with me just a moment. Pride is a major root cause of so many things in life. Thinking too highly of oneself. And keep in mind, when people in the Bible saw God, the deceiving pride fled from them, folks. Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, what's it say? He said, woe is me, for I am undone. When Job saw the Lord, he said, wherefore I abhor myself. When Paul saw the Lord, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I'm saying, don't let pride deceive you. Pride is poisonous. Why? Because it declares that you don't need God, you don't need anybody else, you're self-sufficient. It's poisonous because it deceives you into thinking and me into thinking that we're bigger than we really are. Then number three, pride deceives because it disgusts. This word disgust here means to be distasteful, loathing, repugnant, strong dislike. There's nothing more disgusting than a prideful person. You know, pride is the only disease that makes everybody sick but the one who has it. Think about that statement. Pride only disgusts other people. More importantly, pride disgusts God. God hates pride. He hates it. The Word of God says in Psalm 101:5, him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. You know what that word suffer means? He says, I'm not going to endure a person like that. That's what that word means. Psalm 138:6, though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Proverbs 6:16-17, these six things doth the Lord hate. You know what the word hate here means? It means to oppose against. He stands against it. He opposes it. And the first thing it says is a proud look. I was taught in Bible college, Mr. Kaiser again. That's a shocker, isn't it? He said, always pay attention when there's lists given in the Word of God. And always make special note of what's mentioned first and what's mentioned last. Because there's no incidental coincidences in the Word of God. There's a reason God started off that list of things he hates with a proud look, folks. He hates pride. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination. You know what that word abomination means? It means something disgusting. There's where I get my point. God says it disgusts me. Everyone that's a proud heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he should not be unpunished. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride. Here's another list. Arrogance. The evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. James 4:6, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Number one, pride is poisonous because it declares. It's poisonous because it deceives. It's poisonous because it disgusts. It's poisonous, number four, because it destroys. This is really where my message starts coming out. The word destroy means to break to pieces, to make useless, to ruin, to spoil, to put an end to, do away with, to make void, to counteract. Pride will do all of these to a man's life. God will not use you the way He wants to if we are filled with pride. Pride will destroy your life. Job 26:12, by His understanding, He smiteth through the proud. You know what the word smiteth means? It means to wound, destroy, crush, smash, or violently plunge. That's what that word means. He's saying, if you are proud, He said, I am going to violently plunge you, I'm going to ruin you, I'm going to destroy you. God does not look favorably upon pride. Psalm 12:3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Pride destroys lives. It destroys marriages. It destroys families. It destroys testimonies. I'm going to give you some stories that you may even chuckle at, but really when you think about it, it's not funny. Just to show you how pride destroys marriages and destroys home. There was a man, this many years ago, it was his wife's job to keep the house in order, including provision of towels and, you know, toilet paper, soap in the bathroom. And one day she forgot to replace the soap. And overnight, her husband mentioned, it was right here, that this was an oversight of hers not to replace the soap, for crying out loud. And her husband mentioned it in an exaggerated way, saying, I've been bathing for almost a week without any soap. And I think to myself, then go get some, for crying out loud. That she vigorously denied. And although it turned out that she had indeed forgotten, it says her pride was at stake here, but I'm going to change this and say both their pride was at stake here, and neither one of them backed down. Now get this, for the next 7 months they slept in separate rooms and ate in silence. And even though when they were old and placid, they were very careful about bringing it up for the barely wounded healed wounds could begin to bleed again as if it had been inflicted only yesterday. Now my question to you is this, how can a bar of soap ruin a marriage? Pride. It's that simple. There is another story here that tells of a Texas uncle who remained married to his wife but didn't speak to her for 40 years. Now get this. Didn't speak to her for 40 years after she spent too much money, he thought, on sugar. You think I'm kidding? This is right here in my notes. Which you know it has to be true if it's in my notes, right? I'm not making these things up. I don't do this to, you know, liven the message up, folks. These are true stories. One day he took out I'm reading directly here, folks. One day he took out a lumber saw, sawed their house exactly in half, and nailed up planks to cover the raw sides and moved one of the halves behind some pine trees on the same acre of land. And there the two, husband and wife, lived out the rest of their days in separate half houses. I told you you'd probably chuckle a little bit, but I'm going to tell you something. In reality, there's nothing funny about that. Now, it is funny, I'll be honest with you. But in reality, all it is it shows how pride destroys. Proverbs 15:25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Any questions? That's what God said. Proverbs 16:18, we read it, it's our text. Pride goeth before destruction, and in haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 17:19, he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction the heart of man is haughty. Isaiah 13:11, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Anyone who travels to Edinburgh, Scotland, will find that the Edinburgh Castle, a tower of seemingly insurmountable strength, but the truth is that the castle was once actually captured. The fortress had an obvious weak spot, which other people guarded, because another spot was apparently protected by its steepness, and you know, it was so steep and so rugged that they thought they didn't need to protect that part. At an opportune time, an attacking army sent a small band up that unguarded slope and surprised the garrison into surrender. And here's the statement I want to drive across. Where the castle was strong is really where it was weak. And where you think you're strong is really one of your greatest weaknesses. Because your strength is where the devil will take you down. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. You say, Jody, you act like you know what you're talking about. You want me to tell you why? Because I deal with pride. So do you, if you'll be honest. 2 Chronicles 26:16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Ezekiel 16:49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Sodomy! You mean the sin of Sodom was not homosexuality? No. It says, here was the sin of thy sister Sodom, pride. Pride. You know why God rained down fire and brimstone upon that city? It was not just because of their ungodliness. It was because it started with their pride. And when you think about it, you know what sin is? It's pride. It's pride. For instance, let me just apply this right here. You ever done anything that you knew God was not pleased with? You knew before you even did it that God's not pleased with it. Anybody join the ranks with that? I raise both hands to that. You know what that is? That's pride. That's saying, I will do it my way, pride. And pride destroys, folks. It will take people down. Matthew 23:12, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. You know what that word abased means? It means humbled or humiliated. Strong words that the Holy Spirit uses. There's a fable of a frog's fall. Fable means it's not true, okay, but this kind of is one of those humorous stories that kind of gets a point across that pride destroys. In a certain pond on one of the farms in the east, there were two ducks and a frog. Now these neighbors were best friends, and this is deep, by the way, folks, so, you know, and all day long they used to play together. As the hot summer days came, the pond began to dry up, and soon there was such a little bit of water that they all realized they had to move. Now, the ducks could just fly away, but what about their friend, the frog? Finally, it was decided that what they would do is they'd put a stick between each bill, and then the frog would hang on by his mouth to the stick. Funny thing about it. A duck, stick, aren't you glad? Hey, an independent Baptist church, and I'm speaking on ducks and a frog for crying out loud. Here it is. Get the picture now. I had this thought, okay, we want to help him get out of here, so I'll hold this in. He can hold on in the middle of his mouth, and they were flying off. Can you see them? Some of you dream about that tonight, won't you? Finally, there was a bystander looking up, he was down below, and he said, good, now that's genius. I wonder whose idea that was. And the frog opened his mouth and said, no. He just had to get, you know what I'm talking about. Pride destroyed that boy, you understand? Frog legs that night, you understand what I'm saying? Pride is poisonous. I'm talking in spiritual terms. Pride's not good for you is what I'm trying to say. How do we know that? Because it declares. It declares that you don't need God. It deceives you into thinking that you're more than dirt. It disgusts our God. He hates it. It destroys lives and destroys families. It's still happening today, folks. It really is. But here's really one of the most single worst things about pride that proves that it's poisonous. And by the way, this is not a bad word. The world has taken it and turned it into a bad word. But pride damns. You know the word damns means? It means it condemns. It means it sends to hell. If I were to ask you what are the top 3 reasons why people don't get saved, Somewhere on every list should be the word pride. No doubt about it. How many people are in hell right now because they worried about what somebody else might think? Don't let pride damn your soul. What will people think? Pride. What will people say? Pride. I don't need God. Pride. Not right now. Pride. Pride will damn a soul to hell forever if you let it. Psalm 119, 21. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed. Malachi 4:1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And of that, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that shall leave neither root nor branch. 1 Timothy 3:6, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Friends, pride will send your soul to hell. Luke chapter 18, you don't need to turn to it for time's sake. I told you I was going to have you turning, and I haven't done that, but forgive me. But anyway, just listen to this. I'm just about done here. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Pride will damn a soul to hell if you let it. If you let it stand between your soul and salvation. Job 22:29, and he shall save the humble person. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. I believe what God asked Pharaoh in Exodus 10:3 is what he asked many today, and possibly even in this auditorium. He said this, after he did many of these not all of them, but many of them, he made this statement, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Now in conclusion, do you understand whenever a preacher says in conclusion, that does not mean you're coming to a conclusion. Don't start zipping your Bibles up, closing your Bibles, look right up here please. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low. There is absolutely no good that pride does for a person, nothing, nothing. It declares, deceives, disgusts, destroys, and damns. However, on the other hand, James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, as of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let me ask you, is it really worth losing God simply to hang on to your pride? I'm not talking about your salvation if you're saved, but I'm talking about his power and presence in your life. Get rid of it today. Micah 6:8 says, what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy? And to walk humbly with thy God. If you're here and you know you need to make a decision for God right now, you might need to be saved. You might need to get something right. You might need to come and say, oh, I'm proud. God, forgive me for that. Whatever it is, if God is dealing in your heart, you have one of two things that you'll do. You either humble yourself and obey, or you'll keep your pride and have God as an enemy. Which one do you want? I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't care what anybody thinks of me. If God says come up here and do that, then you better humble yourself and do it, or God's going to oppose you. Now, I don't care if everybody's on your side. If God's opposing you, you're in big trouble. Keep in mind, if you choose your pride, you're putting yourself and those around you at risk. On my last page of notes, here it is, and these are half sheets. There it is. In the summer of 1986, there were two ships that collided in the Black Sea off the coast of Russia. Hundreds of passengers died as they were hurled into the icy waters below. The news of this disaster was further darkened when an investigation revealed the cause of the accident. It wasn't a technology problem like radar malfunction or even thick fog. The cause was human stubbornness. Each captain was aware of the other ship's presence nearby and could have steered clear. But according to news reports, neither captain wanted to give way to the other. Until it was finally too late, and when they decided to go, it was too late. Their pride had not only killed them, it had killed hundreds of innocent passengers. And pride will do the same to you and your family. There's a story here of a man who was flying an airplane. He was flying, and down below it was minus 70 degrees Fahrenheit temperature. And the folks were signaling him, saying that his coordinates were wrong. He was way off base, but he thought to himself, I can't be that far off base. So he just kept going until finally they had the parachute to safety, they thought. Not long after that, they found those bodies frozen to death. And the reason being is because when a man who thought he had the plane under control and somebody from the outside source said, you're off course, he chose to believe himself. But somebody else who knew exactly where he was. Sound familiar, folks? God sends his radar out and says, go that way. Don't do that. Yes, do that. Stay away from that. And how many times we say, I can't. Pride will take you down. If God has pointed out something to you, don't be too proud to respond. I give this story, I'm closing. Polly, this bull has killed me. So said Jose Cubero, one of Spain's most brilliant matadors, before he lost consciousness and died. He was only 21 years old, and he had been enjoying a spectacular career. However, in this 1958 bullfight, Jose made a tragic mistake. He thrust his sword a final time into a bleeding, delirious bull, which then collapsed. Considering the struggle finished, Jose turned to the crowd to acknowledge his applause, but didn't realize the bull wasn't. And the bull that he thought he killed raised up and thrust at this man and punctured his heart and killed him. It all happened because he thought he had killed it first. You may be here today and you say, I know I've got pride in my life. By the way, it takes humility to admit you've got pride. I'll be honest with you, I've got it in my life. And if you would be honest with yourself, you would have to admit the same thing. And I'm saying that when you come to the altar, if God's dealing with you, don't ever think that when you thrust a sword in and it collapses, don't you think for a minute that it's dead. Because when you turn your back on it, because you think you have won, it'll puncture your heart. And it'll take you down. Do you understand what I preached on today? I need help with this. Do you? If you do, humble thyself in the sight of God. And he will lift you up. Don't you want God to lift you up instead of you lifting yourself? Amen. Let's let God lift us up and not have to put us down. May God drive this in our hearts. Let's all bow our heads, please, and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, take this service, use it in a mighty way. A little different style of message this morning, but I pray that you use it. I pray that you have used it. Father, use it in my life. It was not to be proud, but truly to walk humbly with our God. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they get ready, they're going to begin to play through something. I want to start with the last point of my message. That is pride that damns a soul. It calls a person to say no to God when they know in their heart they need to be saved. Is there one here today you say, Jody, I'm not a Christian? Or maybe you're doubting your salvation. You say, Jody, would you pray for me that I do not let pride stand in my way? I understand that if I allow this pride that's talking to me, maybe even now, don't get up. What will people think? What will he say? What will she do when she finds out? That's all pride, folks. Every last bit of it is pride. If you say, Jody, I need to make sure I'm a Christian, and I want you to pray with me that I will not let my pride keep me trusting Christ. Is there one today you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm through being proud. I need to be saved. Is there somebody like that? Be honest. I'm not going to come to your seat, but I would like to pray for you. Anybody at all like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. You say, Jody, I realize pride can send me to hell. And I don't want that. I don't want that. Is there anybody here at all? You say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be sure I'm a Christian. I want to make sure of that today. Anybody at all? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Let me ask you this question. Let me say, Jody, I'm a Christian. God is speaking to me. You understand, to be a proud person, other people don't have to know it. It's not that you're out blowing a horn, blowing a trumpet in your front yard and saying, look at me. No. Pride can simply just be something that you know God wants you to do, but you've not done it. Pride can be something where God doesn't want you to do something and you do it. Pride is anything that's disobedient to God. You say, Jody, would you pray for me? I understand that pride is poisonous. I understand that. And I need help with it. I really do. Be honest. Be an honest person. Would you be honest? Raise your hand big and high for us. Be honest. Raise it big and high. Don't listen. Don't be proud to raise your hand if God's speaking to you. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it, but I want you to listen to me closely. In just a moment, we're going to extend an invitation. You say, Jody, God's been dealing with me, but I'm concerned about what this person beside me might think. That's pride. If God's dealing with you about that pride, and then you let pride keep you from responding, then what good is the message done? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to ask every one of you to respond. Every one of you. Let's all stand together, please. Our Father, we love you. Help us now. Help us to respond. We need to respond. Help us to see our pride for what it is. Pride. Help us not to be too proud to admit it, but to walk humbly with you. Thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As Brother Gary begins to sing, if God has dealt with you, would you leave your place and would you come as he sings? Come on.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Other than what it is. It's hard to admit you're proud. It's not easy for me as the pastor of Buffalo Ridge to look at you and say, I struggle every now and then with pride. That's not easy for me to admit that. And I'm not admitting it to you to prove that I'm humble. I'm just trying to tell you that I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to us. I need this. We think way too highly of ourselves. God's really dealt with me as I fly on an airplane. And you take off and you look down, and
the houses just look like little dots. And you start thinking about the people who, compared to the house, the people look like a dot. And how we as a human being, and we live in this vast universe that God spoke into existence, and so many times we act like the whole thing revolves around us. No wonder God gets disgusted with that.
However, I think I'd be doing you an injustice if I didn't explain to you what true Bible humility is. What is Bible humility? Is it getting some dust and ashes and going, woe is me, woe is me?
No, that can be pride. You know what true Bible humility is? It's confidence in God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're confident, but not in yourself. You're confident in your God. You take David. He sounded arrogant, didn't he? With the giant. Remember the story? Folks are praying. I'm letting them finish here. I'm trying to teach you a little bit some more here. Not that you need it. I'm just sharing some things that God shared with me. In the story in 1 Samuel chapter 17, Goliath said, come to me and I'll feed you the birds and beasts. David said, no, you're not. I'm going to do that to you. Read it yourself. I'm paraphrasing. He sounds cocky. But you read on. He says, the battle's the Lord's, big boy. You know what he's saying? He said, oh, I'm confident. Yes. Not in me. I'm confident in God. What is it, God, what you do? There's folks still responding. Praise God. Amen. And I'm saying, I need help with my pride. Hey, you have a marriage problem? You know what the cause is? Somebody's too proud. Somebody's too proud to admit they've got a problem. Say, I know God wants me to do that, but I'm not going to do it. You don't understand how she's treating me? You think too highly of yourself when you start talking like that. Because don't you remember how you treated God? The Lord Jesus Christ, when they didn't do a cross. No matter what anybody else does to me, it does not compare to what I did to him. And yet, he still loves me, doesn't he? What do I do? I'm allowing people to do business with God. You don't mind that, do you? Church to go forward. Only way it's going to go forward is if God's children start lifting God up and himself up. Allow the Lord to be on the throne of our hearts. Amen. No doubt about it. May God seal it in our hearts. No doubt about it. Amen. God willing, tonight I'm going to be preaching on my life verse. Say, what's that? You have to come find that. God willing now, unless he changes my heart, change my heart. We're so thrilled you're here. God bless you. I'm going to be dismissed in prayer in just a moment. I do remind you, as you leave, please get in the habit of speaking to people, especially somebody you don't recognize. Introduce yourself to them. Be courteous. Be gracious to them. That'll be a good thing. Be back tonight, 6:30. And then prayer meeting at 6:10 in Miss Lassie's room. Cadets for Christ meeting at 6 in the chapel. That'll be great. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? If you're a first-time guest, please take your card out to the Welcome Center. We've got a special gift for you just for saying thank you for being here. Amen. I want to ask Brother Edgar Gamble, sir, please, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer.